going farther to fix Lake Erie. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. A lot of people are focused on trying to fix Lake Erie's toxic bloom problem. The green cyanobacteria blooms are fueled by phosphorus that gets into the lake from farms and sewage treatment plants. A new report says we need to focus a lot more on cleaning up the streams in Michigan and other states that feed the lake. Stuart Ludson is an author of the report and an associate professor at Ohio State University. He says too much phosphorus and nitrogen can also hurt the fish in streams.
The bottom line is that this nutrient pollution is causing a problem not only in downstream Lake Erie, but in the streams itself.
Michigan, Ohio, and Ontario have agreed to cut phosphorus by 40% by 2025.
The hope would be that efforts to clean up Lake Erie, which have garnered a lot of attention, would also potentially lead to a win-win situation where not only does the lake benefit, but those arteries that are supplying nutrients and sediments to the lake also would be cleaned up.
Ludson says that means farmers will need to do more to keep soil and nutrients out of streams, but that will cost more. This is the Environment Report. Plastic pollution is all around us, from grocery bags that aren't properly recycled to islands of plastic floating in the oceans. Kara Holsappel reports that an industrial designer from the Netherlands is trying to get people to think differently about plastic's long life cycle.
Bart Bleierveld has never been to the U.S. before, but at a recent Green Products Expo in Pittsburgh, he demonstrates his company's solution for at least some of our plastic waste.
So what we got here is a mobile plastic recycling installation. We call it the Perpetual Plastic Project.
Bleierveld drops an ordinary plastic cup, the kind you'd use at a party and toss out, into a shredder the size of a shoebox. It's got metal teeth, and you operate it just with a manual crank.
And by turning, you break the cup down into small pieces.
The confetti-sized pieces are then pumped through the extruder, a machine that heats the plastic to 200 degrees. This is more manual labor, so Bleierveld gets an audience member to push the warm goo through a small hole.
It's a bit like a toothpaste.
I'm going to have to switch out with someone.
All that old-fashioned elbow grease produces a high-tech end product, plastic wire that's the ink for 3D printers. They're used to make just about anything, like prosthetic hands or replacement parts for machines. Bleierveld's company, Better Future Factory, uses an industrial-scale version of this model to make printer ink from old car dashboards and refrigerators. The idea came to him and his colleagues a few years ago when they found out that most of the plastic waste at one of the Netherlands' biggest festivals was a biodegradable cup made from a plastic called PLA. It turns out PLA is also the most used plastic in making 3D printer ink.
Everybody said it was not possible, but we proved them wrong.
At demos like this, the printer at the end of the Perpetual Plastic Project spits out a heart-shaped plastic ring designed to draw in people of all ages.
Little kids, they walk through the steps and then 1 hour later they come back with their parents and they're going to explain to their parents what the process is like. And that's amazing.
Bleierveld says plastic is a useful, even beautiful material. They're just using it wrong.
If you recycle it into new products, and recycle it into new products, and recycle it into new products, you can actually use the strength of having a long lifetime as a benefit instead of a problem.
For the Environment Report, I'm Kara Holsappel.
That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.